welcome to A Day at DPL, a thought leadership series of the Advisor Revelations podcast. Today, DPL founder and CEO David Lau sits down with our new Chief Distribution Officer, Tom McCarthy, to discuss the evolution of the advisory industry. Tune in as they explore the rise of commission-free annuities as a sophisticated planning tool, tackle industry stigmas head-on, and discuss ways to turn these solutions into powerful income differentiators for your practice.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of A Day at DPL. Joined today, we've got kind of an unusual guest in a way, because now this is an employee of DPL, Tom McCarthy, who's joined DPL after a long history in the RIA industry and might have had Tom on as a guest, you know, in one of his other roles at AssetMark or Orion. And instead, recently Tom's joined DPL, and we're here to have a conversation about that and, you know, what he saw in the company and what he's excited about.
Thanks, David. Appreciate it. Yeah, it's, I don't know. I think that's a really good call out, because at the end of the day, you know, I've watched from afar and seen you guys accomplish some really, really great things. And it was such a compelling story in what you guys have accomplished so far. It was serendipitous that there happened to be a great opportunity at the same time.
Yes. So as we get older, it gets almost embarrassing to talk about like how long you've been working in the RIA industry, because a lot of people in the industry haven't been focused in the RIA channel for all that long. And you, through your time at AssetMark, have been, and I at both DPL and Jefferson National, it's 20 years now for me working in the RIA channel. And talk about AssetMark. When did you get started with AssetMark?
Yeah, I mean, it's a funny story, but I was like literally fresh out of college. And believe it or not, I think it was Newsweek. Number one job in the country at the time was financial advisor. Number 250 was president of the United States. And so I said, tell me more about the financial advisor one. And a family friend who was an independent advisor made a referral to me, saying that at your age, you'd be better off really just getting in with one of these companies that is providing advice or products to advisors. If you'll learn that way, you don't have to have as much gray hair to be convincing on the B2B market. And so he introduced me to some folks that started a company called AssetMark. This was back in 2001, so over 20 years ago. And a gentleman by the name of Brian O'Toole, who was the founder, had one of the founders, had an incredible vision and was able to articulate it in such a way that even someone who was a new novice like me was compelled by it. And really what he saw was is that the commission model was flawed. He saw that there was a better way to be able to provide advice to clients, and that was sitting on the same side of the table with them. He felt that picking stocks was not a real value contributor to the client-advisor relationship, and the real value was managing emotions and managing the financial plan. And really was born this idea of a technology platform that allowed advisors, for the first time in many cases, to be able to outsource the investment decision, but really gravitate towards the advice model, which in 2001, for those of us that were in the industry, it was new. We were really trying hard to convince people that the fee-based approach was a better approach and that it was better alignment with clients. And over time, it really evolved and took on, which has been great. It's been a huge win for investors, and it's been a huge win for those that are really excelling at planning, as well as embracing the advice model, where it aligns basically the best interests of both parties. So they saw that vision. When I started, I was one of 40 employees, and it was pretty scrappy, right? I mean, we were basically handwriting our own proposals, didn't have much of a compliance department, but had a handful of advisors that were genuinely invested in what the future looked like. And so I spent 20 years of my career with that company growing up, basically taking the trend, what was for many years fighting the trend and getting advisors to embrace this model, to one that exploded. And so we went through a number of ownership models. We're owned by Genworth for a minute, and then we had private equity ownership, and then an exciting IPO in 2019. And now the firm's, I think, over $100 billion in assets. And so quite a launch over a period of time. But when I look back, I think how fortunate I was to be able to meet a founder with such vision and was able to articulate it in such a compelling way. I wasn't sure if that would ever happen again. But to be honest, a lot of what I saw and got to experience, and it was hard work, don't get me wrong, it wasn't just finding the right idea, I sense here at DPL. So it's been incredible.
Yeah, and we're so fortunate to have you join. It's a great idea, is only that, right? It's just a great idea, but you've got to have people who can bring it to life. But you've also got people who subscribe to the idea on the other side. So like when you're talking about asset mark, I remember my early days in the RIA industry was about 04. And remembering at that time, you know, RIAs were asset managers. So when I heard about it and third-party asset managers, it makes all the sense in the world to me. Right? That if I'm going to grow a business as a financial advisor, the way to do it is to outsource investment management, you know, focus on my clients and planning and stuff like that, made complete sense. But you're going against two very tough and deeply ingrained issues for a financial advisor. Many still do, by the way, as you know, believe their value is tied to their investment and their investing expertise. You know, so you're not only saying that, you're saying also you should be focusing on planning. And that wasn't a popular notion at the time. Planning is a lot of work with not a lot of direct revenue. And trying to advocate for those positions, I'm sure, was a challenge.
Oh, I mean, you're right. I had a great sales coach tell me two sales is harder than one. And we were making many. But the reality is we didn't have a sale if we didn't make many, because you're changing the rules. And there's nothing wrong with the frame of mind that most advisors had, because that's how we were taught the business. I mean, they were taught the business that your value was to be able to provide investments to clients. And so people were taught that if I wasn't choosing the investments, my value in some way eroded. And what happened over time was that clients actually showed us and told us something different, which is really what they want is a trusted partner. Part of the great advice happens to be hiring a third party for that money management. Then that's just as good advice as you being able to pick Netflix for them, right? And so they just want good advice. They want to believe that they're aligned with their financial partners. I'm very much a believer in financial well-being is second, if not right there with physical well-being. So people put a great deal of value in their advisors and they can't be conflicted. And we were able to really kind of break through a wall, which broke down the notion that I need to manage money to be good at what I do, and that I need to be able to make an upfront commission to honestly pay for what I do. And we broke down both walls and really created an awesome white space for what is today the RIA industry. It was not easy though. I mean, it was a lot of work.
No, whenever you're trying to change, you know, some fundamentals like that, that's challenging work. We've done much of the same kind of thing with insurance and trying to change perceptions of insurance and how you think about it and how you work with it. But that growth, how did it start? Like, what were some of the early successes that made you think that, hey, this might actually work?
Oh, geez. That's a good question. You know, so one thing that AssetMark did a really good job was they value community and they value the ability to put advisors together. One of the interesting thing about independent business is that there isn't a natural community.
That's right.
And so bringing advisors together is really, really powerful when they can talk to one another. And so what we learned, or what we started to see, was that the amount of business that was just self-generating, meaning the referrals that were coming in, were starting to really just explode. And we saw a lot of the investment partners of the world start to transform the way they were building solutions. We saw the entrance of the ETFs, the entrance of these iShares, the entrance of these low-cost institutional price vehicles that really allowed advisors to be able to really do something different and great with their clients in ways they hadn't been able to do in the past. It also opened up the door for the advice model, right? It opened up the door for this transparency conversation. So I would say it was a lot of factors, right? It was all the products out there that said costs matter, transparency matters, and that it was advisors who were really starting to value things like the CFP and starting to value things like financial planning and being able to think about ways that they could add value that wasn't just investments. So it was those two levers that I think just started to really unleash an opportunity. And whether we liked it or we loved it, but it was a little surprising. There wasn't a ton of competition. Our industry is kind of naturally slow. And so we were skeptics of the fact that everybody didn't want to do what we did. And so we ended up just getting a lot of really first mover advantage there, if you will. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's always interesting because, you know, we experience similar things, you know, and from a different point of view. But, you know, as I talk to people about DPL, particularly in investor types, you know, private equity, venture, everybody wants to know who else does what you do. Who are your competitors? I'm like, nobody directly. I mean, there are people who do a little bit of what we do. This, they might do this aspect, that aspect, but nobody actually does what we do. And generally that should be a really good thing, but then people get nervous when like there aren't more people doing what you do. And then you want that affirmation of it's becoming more widely accepted because you're getting more competition, which we are, you know, we're seeing more competition in our space. And then you want to see the advisors adopting. And were there any like key firms that you ever got that like, you're like, oh, this was a big one. This is going to help move the market because this is an important firm.
Yeah, well, so it was really difficult. So Assemark in particular was targeting the broker-dealer market, so the independent broker-dealer market. So those were some of the earlier RIAs that still allowed for the commission revenue. And they were very fortunate to get some of the ones that morphed into very big ones, like out of the gates. They were actually Royal Alliance reps. So what is now Osaic ended up acquiring all these other firms. So it was almost this inorganic growth that made some of the existing clients so large. But it was really kind of the emergence of these advisors that were making wholesale book moves that was the transformative agent for a firm like Assemark, where it wasn't the 1, 2, 3 accounts. It was, I'm going to move my whole business like this. And so we ended up seeing 40, 50%, 100% growth rates year over year, not because of one firm, but because of making the business decision to actually do a wholesale move to this is the way I'm going to do business. And that to me is I see that at DPL. What I saw at DPL from afar was that not only, David, do you and your whole team have the vision of what is the future of the modern annuity and structured products market, but you do it in a way where it's a compelling business decision, not a product one. And I do think that's what separates Assemark. I think it's what separates DPL in big ways, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So talk about that a little bit more when you talk about getting to a business decision rather than a product decision. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, but let's expand on that for the listeners.
Yeah, no. Hey, look, it's really interesting, right? So independent advisors, they have a CEO cap, right? As well as the advisor cap. And as CEO, you have to think about what's going to give you the most scale and ultimately, and first and foremost, benefit your clients in a kind of an objective way, right? Because of the advice model, because of the fiduciary standard, you can't be conflicted by product. Our industry traditionally has wholesalers visit advisors and basically sell them a product. And they're kind of conflicted with what wholesaler is most compelling and I have to choose, right? So the reality is that every advisor knows they're going to provide investments to clients and they need to also remove the conflict as well. So what happens is that for a firm like Assemark, due diligence and open architecture between with compelling technology became the business decision. With DPL, you're making a business decision to be able to provide structured products to solve like the income gap or the growth gap or a preservation for your clients. But you don't want to make the decision to now find every single carrier that's going to provide those solutions. You don't want to be responsible for the nuances of all those. You want to make a business decision that this is something I'm going to do, and I need a partner that's going to be able to allow me to deliver it with confidence and scale. That's where the technology comes in. So once you make that decision that you've got to find this partner that has the best technology, due diligence, and people, I'm done. And now I let them decide how that product suite actually grows because I have my partner there.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's exactly, you know, there are so many driving reasons to create DPL, but one is that annuities are really powerful products. They're great structures. There's no other product that you can get basically unlimited tax deferral with downside principal protection and lifetime income, right? So those are all like just structural benefits of annuities that can be leveraged in a plan and in a portfolio for the benefit of an end client, which fee-only advisors have never been able to use. So you've got an obvious conflict of interest, you know, with the commission. They've never been able to use them. And so consequently, they'll trash them even. You know, like they'll talk very badly about annuities. But annuities are great structures. Academics universally love annuities for retirement. And I always say if they'd been commission-free all along, they'd be non-controversial. So now this enables, by removing the commission, you're taking out all the problems that the traditional fee-only advisors had with them. And now you're enable them to unlock the value and potential of the benefits they can bring into a portfolio, like you're saying. And then leveraging our tech, you don't need to be a product expert. You just start leveraging it for the benefits. You want income? Just tell us you want income. We'll find income. But that's one of the driving notions, that these important products that advisors really need in their toolkit, particularly in this day and age, and taking the commission out and delivering tech really enables it.
I mean, David, part of the reason I got so excited about this opportunity is that I think that story is still, there's so much yet to be heard by the RA community, right? And there are a whole dozen reasons why that story hasn't been loud enough. But I can't go to a conference without people talking about how excited they are about private markets. And in particular, it's all about credit. Every one of them are saying, I need more income, right? And what's interesting is that annuities and these structured solutions actually provide, when you do it, when you pull out the commission, actually provide an incredibly compelling, sophisticated income product that sits right next to any one of these alternatives and private market solutions. And so I think about all these advisors, when they're trying to tap into the private markets and the alternatives to solve these problems for their clients, the feedback I get from advisors is that they don't have the confidence to choose from all the things in a private market suite. They need a partner that can help narrow it down, provide due diligence, and give them the confidence. I mean, it's a perfect storm for DPL to really explode within the RA community, because you've got this huge appetite for alternatives and structured products, and you now have products that are being built for the institutional investor. You just need a technology to, you need a technology to deliver it, that's going to deliver it in a very easy electronic way for onboarding, but also provide ongoing due diligence and confidence, so you don't feel the burden of having to do the homework on the hundreds of carriers and other solutions out there. It's a really cool story.
Yeah, no doubt. And I mean, annuities suffer from the burden of their name,
right?
You know, kind of, and some of the damage the industry has done to itself in continuing to foster commission practices. But it's one of those things. Annuities do income really, really well. Annuities are extremely efficient at generating income. Stack it up against anything. Sometimes you see, like on these sports shows, you know, like these blind resumes. If you have this team that looks like this and this team with all these same stats, and which one gets in the college football playoff, like if you stacked up an annuity on a blind basis against another income solution, the annuity is going to kill it. And on a no-name basis, you're like, yeah, I'm going with that one every time. But what we find, you know, so much to your point of awareness, is you have to get the advisors over the stigma of the product. If you can get them to actually look at what these products are and what it means when you take away, you know, take out the commissions, then it's a whole new ballgame. The light bulbs go off. They can see the benefits. It totally changes the game. But you almost need to do that blind comparison, like side by side. Don't tell them it's an annuity. Just look at the benefits and the features.
You're right. And that's unfortunate, right? And that's a product of unfortunately, the way the product's been sold in the past, not necessarily the product itself. And what's funny is I look at some of the best financial planners in the country that are dealing with some of the most high net worth individuals out there. When you look at the sophistication of some of these practices and how they use annuities, it's pretty cool, right? I mean, I know we're not really touching it on this conversation, but like what you can do in the private placement annuity world for tax deferral for some of the most high net worth folks out there with low basis, it's really, really cool and really is a way for you to differentiate yourself. So as an advisor, look, there's a reason this is a $5 trillion TAM. The addressable market is giant because they're solving problems, period. Okay. So as an advisor, I would feel compelled to understand, well, if there are institutional versions of these products, I need to be looking at them. I need to understand how it fits into my alternatives conversation, my structure conversation, where I'm trying to provide solutions that solve these income gaps. Because if I'm ignoring it and I'm only focusing on a public market, that market's shrinking. And it's not nearly as adaptable to being able to solve financial planning problems as a public market is. We saw that recently when, I mean, we grew up thinking bonds diversified against stocks.
Right.
What happens when they go together?
Right.
Your SOL, right? Like, so if anything, people should be really excited about looking for more ways to be able to solve the financial planning problems that you face every day. And you're ignoring a giant one if you're not looking at structured products, including annuities.
Yeah, it's, again, I think the product category works is one of our biggest challenges, is overcoming that category and the stigma of annuities, particularly in the RIA space, where they had also the financial conflict of interest. You can't like them, right? People used to call it annuicide. If I allocate to annuities, I'm going to kill my practice. I'm losing money in my AUM. But this is now a different animal. You know, low cost, you can bill on them. It's part of a portfolio and a solution. They're integrated into your software. It really works far differently than the annuities of old.
And you're tapping into something too that I think is largely unheard as well, which is that for those of the advisors that have made the choice to be a fiduciary, right? And yet they've got a legacy part of their business that has sold insurance, not knowing how to basically continue to provide ongoing help and support for your clients, yet managing a legacy book of annuities, that for a lot of advisors is a conundrum, right? What should I do with it? I'm not selling new ones. I don't know how to manage this. Yet DPL has basically raised their hand and said, look, not only can we provide a great technology and suite of options for you, but we actually have a solution for you. We allow you to really just go RIA only. Right? Let us partner with you as agent of record. You do not have to be the agent of record.
Yep.
Don't take a commission on it. So that completely absolves you from having to be able to be, you know, insurance licensed and really manage that role, but really act in an advisory capacity on the same investment solution.
Yep.
So what we're hearing is like, wow, so you're telling me that I can keep the same compelling investment for my client, or more importantly, upgrade to a fee version of it, but not have to be able to retain FINRA license or insurance license because you're actually partnering with me as agent of record. Like, that is unheard of. There are so many advisors who know that, but it's such a game changer for really reinforcing the fiduciary model and separating the two acts and really partnering with them.
Yeah. So the target advisory market in launching DPL again was the traditional RIA who's fee only, and now you're expanding their wallet share with their clients, helping them bring in held away assets, giving them some more tools in the toolkit to better design better plans and portfolios. And then it's the hybrid who's already migrated their business, the ones you're talking about, who've already migrated their business to a fee basis on the investment management side. And it's only the annuities that are sitting back that they have a broker-dealer relationship for, that they maintain the FINRA licensing for, that they're still collecting commissions on. And we can migrate those and we can transition their practice. And what I think a lot of people don't yet realize is how many fee-based products there are now, right? So I was just talking to somebody the other day, as a matter of fact, who said, I still think of what you did at Jefferson National, like just the low cost investment only product. It's like, yeah, that's part of why I left to build this, was because that was the only kind of solution we could offer. We know clients need more. They probably bought the product originally because they liked the idea of guaranteed lifetime income. Yeah, so we've got products of all kinds, every variety with every feature. They all exist in fee-based chassis now. It's not just a couple narrow product choices.
You know, it's funny what you made me think of there is like, I meet so many advisors that are, who make great recommendations for their clients and then have somewhat of a anxiety around changing that recommendation in the future.
Right.
It's funny to me, like there's almost this feeling that it'll make me look like I didn't recommend the right thing. And it really couldn't be further from the truth. In fact, I think you would be doing yourself a disservice if I were to look at clients and say, here's my recommendation for you. And good news, I'm not going to consider anything for the next 30 years, any innovation in the industry, anything that might be better, because this is the best thing for you forever.
That's right. And nobody will ever come up with anything better than this, ever.
You'd just be foolish, right? So like when I say it like that, I do it on purpose, right? Because you should embrace change, right? You should look at clients and say, this is the best for you today, but I want you to know that we have partners and we have internal associates that, and myself included, that do nothing but look at the industry to figure out how it evolves. And if we can get to you in a day where costs have significantly gone down and the benefits continue, you know, go up significantly, like we've seen in this market, we would be doing you a disservice if we didn't make the recommendation to change. You should be excited about that.
Yeah, that always befuddles me when I hear about advisors who don't want to make a change because they sold the other product or whatever it might be. Like you said, you've got to presume that the client wants you to find new and better solutions. And how often as an advisor do you get to deliver tangibly good economic news? It's not just because the market went up. I found you a better product. I'm saving you thousands in fees on the, you know, on this product because I continue to do the job you're paying me to do.
In fact, that's what I love about the advice model, is because you're paying an ongoing fee so that your advisor is always looking out for the right decisions for you. There's no conflict there, right? The commission model was designed to be able to sell products, right? It wasn't designed for advice in perpetuity, right? And so by being able to line up those two things, I think you should embrace it. We saw it in the managed money world too. They kept saying like, well, I manage all the money. The minute I stop managing the money, I won't add value.
Right.
Wrong.
Right.
That's just absolutely wrong. Your clients trust you and want you to make the right decision for them. And if that right decision is outsourcing, outsource. They don't care.
Right. And you can't be an expert in everything. And there's a lot of value to scale in managing assets. So particularly for smaller firms, it never made sense to me why they want to be in-house managing assets. The resources it takes to do that when you can be out servicing your clients, finding new clients, helping them make better financial decisions across their lives, which is more and more what clients demand, right?
I would agree. You know, it's funny, like here's a quick exercise I used to ask a lot of advisors is I would say to them first, what are your top three things that you consider to be your primary value proposition? Just name them. Top three. Write them down. And then if I were to go to your top four or five clients and ask them the exact same question, I want you to write down three reasons why you work with this advisor. How often do you think those would match up?
Almost never.
Exactly. Yes. And they all agree with that too, right?
Right.
So it's just funny, right? Like at the end of the day, really listen to your clients and focus on what it is that you're, I mean, and if you're providing value and your clients don't know it, then you're not adding that value in their minds. That is not valuable to them.
Yep. I mean, that's one of the things you mentioned, the TAM of the annuity market, which is about a $5 trillion market. And that's in spite of the fact that they've got a controversial reputation. It really shows you how badly consumers want lifetime income. They want the predictability of lifetime income. They want the certainty of it. Like there's so endless academic studies to show you how not only the economic benefits of annuities, but the psychological benefits of annuities in retirement. And then for advisors, again, ask your clients what they want. Talk to them positively about an annuity rather than try to tell them when they ask you that, oh, you don't want that. You don't want that. Let me tell you what you don't want. Like, how about listen to your clients, listen to the market, and come with them with a solution of, hey, I haven't recommended annuities before in the past because they've been commissioned and don't align with my ethics and fiduciary advice, but today they do. And now we can, you know, we can talk about lifetime income and the tax deferral and the benefits of annuities.
Those are the right questions. And I would argue that your problem with it wasn't necessarily the product itself. Your problem was necessarily the way it was delivered.
Yeah.
And the expectations that came with that. Because in many cases, the product itself actually serves a great purpose. I mean, any financial planner out there who's doing Monte Carlo simulations, the whole thing is trying to build a confidence around you not outliving your income, period.
Yeah.
Like if you had a tool or a vehicle that allowed that number to go up, would that be valuable to you?
Right.
Of course.
Take no additional risk, probably take risk off the table, as a matter of fact, and make that confidence score go up. But it's great to be, I know one of the things that also, you know, attracted you to working at DPL, which has been important to me in my career, obviously, but is making sure you're doing the right thing for the client. You know, there's believing in what you do and the products and value you provide is very important to you. And that was, you know, mutually attractive and something I know has driven both of our careers.
Thank you for bringing that up. It's something that has meant a lot to me. And I learned early on with some just really good human beings in this industry that founded the Asimark in the beginning of my career, where whenever you're entering a new career, you're always like dealing with business decisions and choices. And all versions of the firms I've been with, the client first mentality has been there. And when I had a chance to meet your colleagues, David, and the folks that you've recruited, it speaks so much to that. Every decision that's made, everything that embodies at DPL starts and ends with how it's better for the clients first. And that to me was such a great green flag of this, because we've seen versions of our industry where that's not the case. and it's all about revenue. That isn't fun. And so I'm a big believer in putting the client's interest first matters. I always liken it to the Uber model. All Uber did was pay attention to the rider, right? All the cabs did was pay attention to pleasing the cities. And they paid each other off and figured it out. But once you took a minute and thought about the rider, you had a $100 billion solution, right? So that's what you all are doing here, is you care about the rider. And I think you're changing the rules. We're changing the rules, Mac, to say that.
That's right. That's right. Terrific. So, and I'll let you just touch on, before we almost missed it and talking over your background, but in between DPL and AssetMark, you know, you had a nice run at Orion, and that was another set of really good leaders and a great business there.
Yeah, funny enough, some of the same. So I didn't really go far. But I say that because, you know, one of the things that was really cool about my run at AssetMark was I learned a lot about the independent space. But what's also been prevalent is that the RIA space has really boomed and the technology entrants have boomed. And so the way RIAs in particular are consuming technology has changed a lot. And so AssetMark was a pre-built package. And if you didn't buy the package, it wasn't as exciting for you. Like, it wasn't perfect fit for you. Orion built a business on the idea that they were going to sell technology a la carte, and RIAs were going to use what made most sense to them. And they were going to offer a compelling package solution, but also an a la carte solution. And it represented an opportunity to go work with a firm that was truly disruptive in the RIA space. They dominated the retail RIA space. And a lot of those retail RIAs 15 years ago are now the biggest ones in our space. So you look at it's widely known Creative Planning's a client of Orion, right? But if you think about that, they were small when they started.
Oh, yeah. I know. Well, defined big 15 years ago, dude, like $3 billion in AUM or something like that.
Yeah. And Wealth Enhancement's another one I used to work with over at AssetMark, and, you know, they're a client as well. And so it's like, I remember I talked to one of the advisors there and he said, you know, when we started working together, we were like the biggest firm in town, and Wealth Enhancement had $2 billion in assets. And now I have that. Right. Like, just as one advisor.
Right.
Yeah. So I would just say, like, the opportunity to go work at Orion was an opportunity to get to work with some of the largest growing enterprise firms out there. And I learned a lot about the types of technology they wanted to consume, how they wanted to pay for that, and how people could best partner with those firms as they continue to adapt to all the technologies out there. Honestly, like the DPL, right? Where some of these large enterprises actually love the technology at DPL and want it brought into the fold. So firms like Orion have the ability to bring that in a very integrated way. And so that was a whole different world for me. But I think coming out of it, I have a whole new appreciation for the SaaS-based technology purchasing kind of world and experience, as well as obviously my roots in the wealth management side.
Yeah, it is so interesting. Just quick note on, like, size that I was just joking about. But I definitely remember back in my early days, $1 billion firm, that was a big firm. Like, you considered that a big firm. And there weren't many of them. You know, there are 20 of them, something like that. Now it's like $1 billion. Ho-hum, you know, let us know when you get acquired by somebody. The size of the top of the market is now measured in hundreds of billions rather than single billions. It's been an unbelievable growth story in terms of the RIA industry in general. And, you know, we're really both lucky to have careers that have worked in it for quite a while. And hopefully we can take DPL to the next levels in this space.
Well, I know we can. I mean, I told you this, David, for a long time. I think this is a firm that is disrupting a space that, with the trend embracing it, is $100 billion plus AUA firm quickly. And you look at the size of the market and you look at how fast the partner firms are growing themselves, and just the ability to help move towards the fiduciary model, one, and then two, having a viable spot on the product shelf as an alternative investment or a structured product, you're talking about massive growth, right? And so I'm so excited. Everybody I talk to, I feel like they're just feverishly taking notes and trying to understand it, because they see someone like me too, just moving over. They see large RIAs moving over, and people are just saying, I want to know more, right? I mean, maybe I'm missing it. And what they're missing is that they're letting the narrative that has kind of plagued this side of the world, especially around some of the products, drives some of that thinking, which the good news is that's changing.
Right, exactly. It's like, can you imagine a product or a category that needed more disruption than annuities, right? So no, okay, well, we've done it. So now let's take a look at what we've done from the product sense, from the technology sense, you know, from the way it works, you know, for your clients and in your practice. It's a whole new ballgame.
I mean, as an investment professional, who's spending all this time learning about private markets, alternatives, structured products, like if you're not looking at it, it's a major gap. Like you owe yourself a conversation around, help me understand the institutional side of annuities. Like, because I've been hearing and I've always thought about maybe the retail side where the pricing hasn't been as compelling. Some of the way it's been sold hasn't been compelling. And you got it. You owe yourself that conversation because I was in the same boat, right? I was never obviously looking at it as an asset class. But once I did, it was like so eye-opening of like, wait, you're talking about saving millions of dollars over the client lifetime value. You're talking about significant 50, 100, 200 basis points or more of savings and costs. And then you're talking about rates that are delivering income levels that are significantly higher than what bank rates or some of the structured products out there are. And then being able to close the gap with a guarantee on lifetime income if you choose. And then having surrenders being as low as nothing. Like, it's just changing everything you know about what you thought you knew about the products.
Yes, that's what I say. The root of all evil in annuities is commission, right? Everything you didn't like about the annuity, you can tie it back to the commission. So, you know, on the other hand, you get rid of the commission, you get rid of all those problems. So anyhow, well, hey, why don't we wrap it up here? But so glad to have you on board the team. Enjoyed this conversation. Look forward to taking this all to the next levels and excited for what's to come.
Well, David, I just want to say thanks again. I think what you guys have accomplished have been absolutely incredible. You have a great vision and you have a great team of people that help you build something really awesome. So I'm fortunate to be a part of it. I'm really excited to see this grow to 100 billion in the next couple of years.
Awesome. Me too.
Thanks for listening. To hear more advisor revelations, go to dplfp.com and subscribe on your favorite podcast streaming app.